Hey, I'm glad to be here. All right. Because it's so much cooler here than it is in Phoenix, right? So y'all got beautiful mountains. We don't have that kind of stuff. And we ate a really good Mexican restaurant last night. We had a meal that, I'd be honest with you, I can't tell you what it is. It was that kind of weird good. And it was really good. And hey, happy Mom's Day, those of you that are moms. And you know what? All of us are here because of you, right? I mean, come on, be honest. That's right. None of us would be here if you hadn't said, you know what? I'm keeping them. Right? We're pretty excited about this wonderful day. And I'm thankful for Pastor Jeff letting me come and hang out with you guys. I am a huge fan of Pastor Jeff's. Huge. Other than him being from Missouri, I love the man. And he's a great dude. And I love him very much. I love his wife. I love his family. And I'm very excited to be here today. Today I want you to turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. We're going to be reading out of the English Standard Version, so ESV. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. And as you're turning there, you know, man, moms have taught us a lot with faithful words of instructions. And I found this on the internet. And some of these phrases that you'll hear, maybe you can just raise your hand if you've ever heard these kind of phrases, okay? Moms taught us about a value of a job well done by giving us this phrase. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning, right? Okay? The moms taught us about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week, right? Have you ever heard that one? Or maybe they taught us about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you get into an accident, right? My grandma used to tell me, make sure and have clean underwear in case you get in an accident, you know? So now I get a little skitty if I go in my car without clean underwear. Irony, right? They taught us about irony. Irony, not ironing, but irony, about keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. Have you heard that one? Osmosis, shut your mouth and eat your supper, right? How are you going to do that? About stamina, you're going to sit here until you eat all of that spinach, right? Or they taught us about the weather. This room of yours looks like a tornado went through it, right? How many of us have said that? I got two daughters. And you would think that girls are cleaner than boys. That's not true. I don't know. I don't have boys. But they were pigs. Hypocrisy. They taught us about hypocrisy. If I've told you once, I've told you a million times. Don't exaggerate. Right? And they taught us about the circle of life. I brought you into this world. I can take you out. They taught us about envy. There's a million of less fortunate children in the world that don't have wonderful parents like you do. All right? They taught us about anticipation. You wait till your dad gets home, right? I've heard that one. Medical science, they taught us about that. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. My parents told me that. My mom told me that if I didn't stop popping my knuckles were going to get really big and I look really deformed. And so that's, they told us how to be an adult, how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. Last week in my church at Mountain Ridge Baptist Church, I started the church in 1996. About 5 years ago, I gave the church to my co-pastor, and now I'm the lead greeter for the 9:15 service. Okay? I may not have been a great pastor, but I'm an amazing greeter. And I was greeting this family coming in, and this lady comes up with her little boy, and she said, "Pastor, tell my son that if he drinks coffee, that'll stun his growth." And I go, "Well, maybe that's what happened to me. I drank coffee and look what happened," like that. So, you know, the things we tell our kids, right? Justice. We tell them, the parents taught us about justice. One day, I love this one, okay, because I've actually said this. One day when you have kids, I hope they turn out just like you, right? Now, it's hard to be a parent and it's hard to be a mom. I mean, it really, really is. Now, the Bible talks a lot about how to be a great parent. And the greatest parent for us to emulate is our Lord and Savior and our Father God. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2 says this. Therefore, as imitators of God, as beloved children, it says, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Now, how do you define an imitator? An imitator is a person who copies the behavior and the actions of another. It's a person who follows as a model or an example. It means actually to mimic, to impersonate, to make a copy of, to reproduce closely. And from the earliest of our ages, we really imitate those that we respect and those that are in our lives. When your children were small, or when you were small, maybe you remember getting into your dad's shoes. Now, I remember putting on my dad's boots and then being too big. Or I remember trying to learn how to shave by watching my dad, or putting on a tie. My girls, when they were tiny, and they would try to put on makeup like mom did, you know, and get makeup all over the place. Yesterday I was at a friend of mine's house, and his daughter's named Selah. And Selah, we heard this, "Daddy, Daddy." And he goes, my friend goes into the bedroom, and Selah had taken lotion and spread it all over her legs. And she said, "I got lotion on my leg just like mommy." And I mean, they're everywhere. We do that. We have a tendency to imitate those that we love and those that we like and those that we hang out with. Matter of fact, studies show that from the first year, a child can imitate the expressive movements of others. For example, raising arms or smiling or attempting to speak. We've got grandchildren now. I've got 2 daughters and 5 grandkids. And by far, being a grandparent is a lot more fun than being a parent, because I can love on them and go home. That's what I like about it. But, you know, our youngest grandson is less, he'll be a year old in a couple weeks. And, or is it next week? It's Friday. Anyway, and that's my wife there, so she's the one here to straighten me out. Anyway, and we've already taught him, "I love you this much." And he'll go like that. He just imitates us. In the second year that our people enter the world, we begin learning. And the most part, we begin doing it by observing the process of someone else, a parent, a friend, a teacher, and then even grow up, even a coach. Research has shown that that a constant in most winners is they seek out and they research what others, really their advice, finding experiences that they can have for a foundation of their own success. We often do that. And as a follower of Jesus, what are we to do? Well, as a follower of Jesus, we are to be imitators of God as beloved children. As we are kids of the Lord, those of us that have bowed a knee to Jesus and have said yes to him and given him our lives, then we are to imitate God. But how can we imitate the one that we can't even fathom? Book of Job, chapter 11, verses 7 through 8 describes it like this. It says, "Can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens above. What can you do? They are deeper than the depths below. What can you know?" In Isaiah chapter 6, one of my favorite chapters of all the Bible, we see that the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. And we hear the voices of these flying cherubim. And they had covered their face. With 2 wings they covered their face. With 2 wings they covered their feet. And the Bible says, with 2 wings they flew. And they were crying out in the midst of the throne room of God, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and the whole earth is full of his presence." And like Isaiah, we too have to answer in the midst of that, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people that are unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the Lord." So how do we grasp the fullness and the majesty of God so that we can imitate it? Well, we do it by being imitators of God. We first must be imitators of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 describes Jesus as this. It says that he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. If we want to know God, we just have to really know Jesus. And we've got to imitate what Jesus did. And And what's great about this is that the Holy Spirit is given to you and I to empower us to be successful imitators of Jesus in a watching world. For those of us who said yes to Jesus, the world is looking and saying, okay, you claim to be Jesus followers. Are you mimicking Jesus? So how are we to mimic? How are we to follow Jesus? Have you ever noticed, my friends, that the more you do life with someone, you start taking on their mannerisms? Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that people that have been married for a long time begin to look like each other? Ladies, this is where tissues will be issued to you at this time, okay? You're going, oh my goodness, I should have chose better, right? As the redeemed, as beloved children of God, how are we to mimic Dad? Well, one of the things I love about Jesus is he does not ask us to do anything that he hasn't done, that he hasn't lived, or that he hasn't accomplished. Have you ever heard the phrase, do as I say, not as I do? You ever heard that phrase? I mean, the world, and sadly some of us even, if you think about it, are hypocrites, aren't we? Including the environmentalist who flies on private jets. This is what I found myself doing this week. Yelling at someone for texting and driving, and then the next day, me texting and driving. Okay? If any of y'all are po-po, please don't follow me home. Okay? Please don't do it. Thinking that gossip is bad and then repeating it to a friend. Wanting the latest technological gadget, even though it came from a country where the people are oppressed. We claim that no child should go hungry, yet we neglect to donate to a food bank or do something about it. Or we yell at our teenagers as they're learning to drive, slow down, slow down. And then we roll through a stop sign, right? There are times that, be honest, all of us are a little bit hypocritical. I mean, if we're all honest. And if you're not honest, you should be honest, right? Come on, just be honest about it. We're all at times hypocritical. The great thing about Jesus, he isn't. When we're told to be imitators of God, through as his children, we are told to imitate Jesus, who really had no hypocrisy. No hypocrisy. And so how are we told to do it? Well, this is how he says we're to imitate our Father. He says, walk in love as Christ loves us and gave himself up for us. That's what he tells us to do in verse 2. We are to walk in his footsteps. Now, I wouldn't really encourage all of us studying in depth inductive Bible study with the Message version. Okay, so I'm not saying that. But I do like reading it from time to time. And the Message version actually describes it like this. It says, mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. How many of you are excited about that? Okay? I don't want cautious. I want extravagant. That's what I want from my Lord. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but gave something of himself, gave everything of himself to us. And he says, love like that. How are we to love? Like that. So we are to, first, we are to imitate being first to love. We are called to love first. Now, this love that he's talking about is not a romantic love or even a friendship love. This is what your pastor's already probably taught you about agape love. It is a love that is based on a willful choice on behalf of someone else. It is to love regardless of emotions, to love regardless of attraction, or even love despite whether or not you deserve it. It is a sacrificial love. And we're here today celebrating Mom's Day because that's what primarily moms do. They sacrifice so that we can actually become adults and eventually, hopefully, leave the house. right? And not come back. Anyway, that's a whole nother sermon altogether. Okay. But, we are told first of all that we are to love. 1 John chapter 4 verses 10 through 11 says this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Don't you love that passage? Because what that passage says is that God loved you before you had the capacity to even love him. It is God that searched you out. It's just Jesus that poured out his love for you long before you had the ability to say yes to him. He pursued you. I love that God is the great pursuer, isn't he? I love it that about God, that he loves me enough that he's going to chase us down. The old Puritans used to say that he's the hound dog of heaven. That's what he was. He just chases you down till he gets you. And that's what he does. God just poured out his love for us, not while we were, other passage says, while we were still yet sinners, that God loved us. That's what he did for us. And so what are we to do? We are to do the same thing. We are to love people. Love people in our community the way Jesus did. Shortly before Jesus' betrayal and his arrest, Jesus was having supper with his disciples. And during that meal, the disciples began arguing amongst themselves about which is the greatest. Which of them was the greatest? Their Lord was facing humiliation and affliction. Yet their only concern was about themselves, about their own prestige, about their own rank, and sadly, their own glory. When the Lord most needed their comfort and their encouragement and their support, they acted as if he were not even with them. All their attention was focused selfishly on themselves. And knowing that, Jesus does something. He kind of gives them an object lesson. He goes and picks up a basin of water and a towel. And he begins one by one washing the feet of the disciples. A task that was reserved for the lowest of servants in the household, despite their callous lack of concern for his impending sacrifice and death, Jesus, out of humility, out of forgiveness, out of unconditionally and self-sacrificing love, he ministered to them. And when he finished washing their feet, he turned to them at the supper table. And this is what he says in John chapter 13, verses 12 through 16. And he said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord. You're right, for I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. For I gave to you an example that you should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is no greater than the master, neither is one who is sent greater than one who sent him." So what are we to do? We're to love. And how are we to love? We're to love by serving those that are around us, even when they don't deserve to be served. Because that's what love looks like. If we're going to be imitators of Jesus, the first thing that people ought to think about when they think about Authentic Life Church is that, you know what? This church loves its community. This church loves my family. This church loves those that are unlovable. This church loves the people that everybody else kind of pushes aside. This church loves people. You know what? I may be messed up, but I know if I come to this church that they're going to love me even if I messed up. That's what people should be thinking about when they think of this church. Because this church wants to imitate Jesus. Well, what else we should imitate? Well, he says we're to imitate his sacrifice. Imitate his sacrifice. Because Jesus sacrificed himself, we too are to be sacrificial. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 through 9, Paul writes to this young church that he had birthed, okay, that he had pastored for a number of years, who every once in a while he'd write back letters to kind of encourage them. And this is what he says to this church that he started. He says, "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in love that we have kindled in you," okay, catch this, you got all of these down. "See to it that you excel in the grace of giving. And I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love, comparing it to the earnestness of others. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you may become rich." Isn't that beautiful? That's what Jesus tells us to do. Then we are to be sacrificial. You know, it's not talking about just money, okay? He's not talking about that. He's talking about being sacrificial of your life. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about giving yourself. It means going outside your comfort zone and inviting people into your life. It means being willing to just put everything you've got on the altar of God so that he can use your gifts, your talents, your experiences, your resources for the furtherance of his glory. That's what he's talking about. He goes, "You've got all these other things, but I want to challenge you to excel in the grace of giving." Does that mean cash? Of course it does. We got, hey, okay, you need to be a faithful giver. You need to do that. I mean, that Jesus is a faithful giver. You and I need to be a faithful giver, right? I mean, the Bible talks about that Jesus loves a cheerful giver. Now, this church will take money from a grouch. Okay, I'm just telling you, okay? All right? But you need to be a cheerful giver, not just financially, but you need to give your time, your efforts, resources. When this church says, "Hey, we're going to sacrificially invest ourselves in this community," you should be the first one to lift up your hands and say, "Yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to sacrifice my time. I'm going to sacrifice my weekend. I'm going to sacrifice my plans because it's for the glory of God, because I am a child of God, and I'm going to imitate my dad." That's what we do. And then the last thing I think we need to imitate is his forgiveness. Now, this passage doesn't say that necessarily, but other passages do. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, we are told this. It said, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against one another, forgive as the Lord forgave you." I am so glad that I worship a Lord that will forgive me of my sins and my mess. I think if all of us were honest, we'd all agree that we've all got mess. We've all sinned. You know what the word sin means? It means to miss the mark. That's what it means. It's an archery term in the New Testament. It means that you got an archer. If you've ever seen archery done, when you bring back the bow and you shoot the arrow, if it doesn't hit the center of the bullseye, it's called a sin. You can hit anywhere else on the target, but if you don't hit the center of the bullseye, it's called a sin. And so the Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all done that. And if you think you haven't, you're deceiving yourselves, because those around you can give you a list. All right? I mean, come on. Let's just be real. There's a list. And we've all made mistakes. And the Bible tells us that because of his great love for us, he has forgiven us of our sins. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we'll confess our sins, he is faithful and just, will forgive us of our sins. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible tells us he'll cast it as far as the east is from the west. I don't know how far that is, but it sounds like a long way, right? I mean, it's a long way from here. He'll get it out of his own memory. He doesn't remember it anymore. That's what the Bible tells us. And if Jesus is willing to forgive us of our mess, we too, as Jesus' followers, are to be willing to forgive people of their mess. If I expect Jesus to forgive me for my mess, I'm to do the same. That's what I'm to do. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Are people going to hurt you? Yes. Sadly, even people in this church are going to hurt you. You know why? You know why it hurts so much? Because you love much. When you love much, it hurts much. And when you hurt much, what should be my response? Is to turn around and love much by forgiving much. We are brothers and sisters here. And we are responsible as children of God. If I bow to knee to Jesus, we're called to forgive. Because that's what Jesus offers you and me. And if you've never experienced really the forgiveness of Jesus, we want to welcome you today to receive that today. You're tired of carrying all the mess in your life, just like it's piling up, and you're going, you know what? This is getting kind of heavy. I'm getting slow in life. Man, this is just hurtful and painful, and nothing seems to be working. You know what? Jesus wants to forgive you, and we offer that to you because Jesus offers that to you. And then what does it say? When Jesus gives himself to us, when he loves us, Ephesians 5:2 describes it as a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God. The word fragrant means a sweet smell. A sweet smell. I love the smell of homemade chocolate chip cookies. Amen. When your pastor's on sabbatical, if you want to love him, you should bake him some chocolate chip cookies. If he doesn't want them, I'll still give you my address. You can just send them to me, okay? I love this. There's certain smells that just bring you back in time, right? The smell of fried chicken reminds me of my grandma. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. That art has somehow left our society of fried chicken. All this healthy stuff is killing us, right? My grandma lived almost 90 years old eating fried chicken every day, all right? We're eating kale and dying in our 70s, right? Okay, there's something to be said about eating fried chicken. And I'm just getting off a little bit. I'm sorry. My ADD-ness just kicks in from time to time. The smell of fresh mowed grass, you remember what grass is, right? Reminded me of when I was playing outside. The smell of charcoal, burning charcoal, reminds me of my dad grilling burgers outside. When I hike down the mountains and smell after a fresh rain, the creosote bushes, it reminds me of the freshness. Really, be honest with you, of God. It's beautiful. When I smell caramel, even to this day, it brings me back to when I was barely 16 years old and going to Miss Nema's house, a grandparent in the faith for me. Miss Nema was 140 years old. I don't know how old she was, but when you're 16, everybody over 55 is 140 years old. So she was old. And Miss Nemeth, she always had caramel for some reason in her house. Miss Nemeth said, "Monty, I want you to come to my house, and I'm going to teach you how to witness to people." So because I was scared to death of Miss Nemeth, if I didn't do it, I went to Miss Nemeth's house. And Miss Nemeth, over the period of about a month, taught me how to effectively share my faith with others. This grandmother in the faith. So even today, if I ever taste caramel or smell caramel, I think of Miss Nemeth because it is a sweet aroma, a sacrifice. There are smells that just remind us of people, aren't there? Maybe it's the aftershave of your grandpa or the noxema of your grandmother. And Jesus says this, that when you imitate Jesus, then it becomes a sweet smell to the Lord. Because his offering of his life is that great smell, that aroma, sweet aroma over to the Father. I know this sounds weird, But the Lord wants you to smell. He wants you to, let me go this way. He wants you to put on his scent. This is the first Mother's Day since my mother-in-law passed away. Nancy's gone multiple times to see her dad. But the last time we were there at her mom and dad's house, I remember picking up some of her clothes and stuff that she wore. And you smell it, and it smells like her. When people see you and people experience you, they should smell the scent of our Father by your life. My prayer is that this week, this month, this year, we could begin to imitate our Father by imitating his Son, Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for us, as a beautiful aroma to the Lord, and that our sacrifice will do the same, and people will say yes to Jesus. Now, again, our prayer is that if you've never said yes to Jesus, today be your day. Today could be your liberation day. Today be a good day for you on Mama's Day, 2023. That today would be the day you gave your life to Jesus. And we'd love to talk to you after church, after service. Pastors are here, elders are here. We'd love to hang out, just kind of share with you more of the story of Jesus. But many of us, most of us, are already Jesus followers. Maybe today we can make a commitment that we're going to start looking like Jesus and imitating our dad. Let's pray.